Day. It is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Joining me in studio now, always good to have David Wiseman on this broadcast, representing Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. David, how are you?
Great. Thanks very much, Dave.
We have a very special guest here, John Giesman. Introduce John for us, please.
Well, as some of you may know, the audience, that the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility is very involved in the seismic safety issues that have unfolded at Diablo Canyon. Now, going back a decade almost, it was at the California Energy Commission. It was the first state agency to show an interest in this revived interest in seismic safety. And it so happens that at that time, one of the five California Energy Commissioners was John Giesman. He had previously, a couple decades earlier, been the first executive director at the California Energy Commission and subsequently worked in the financial markets as a private practice attorney and then was appointed to the Energy Commission. I have to say that he was also, many people may recognize, PG&E ran a ballot campaign a few years back called Prop 16, had to do with municipal and local power issues, and he was one of the most outspoken people opposing that measure, which did fail. And today, in cases before the California Public Utilities Commission, he's representing the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. So very long history in energy issues in this state.
John, good to see you. Thanks for being on the show. Where's home for you these days?
Well, my office is in Oakland, Dave. I live over the hill in Orinda.
All right. So I'm 30 minutes south of Diablo Canyon. Should I be moving?
Do you think there's going to be an earthquake? That's the real question.
Yeah, I think sooner or later. I've been here 25 years. Sooner or later, the Central Coast is going to have an earthquake.
Seismic issues are what Diablo Canyon is all about, and that issue is heating up right now at the federal level and at the state level. I'm representing David's organization in the Public Utilities Commission rate case for PG&E, and I've started to get documents. I had to go to the administrative law judge, bring a motion to compel, but I'm turning up documents from PG&E that will make your eyebrows singe.
I am only going to repeat what I've said on the radio before, is that I was sort of neutral about PG&E up until San Bruno. And after San Bruno, John, that gave me pause. And I'm always suspicious now of PG&E because of what happened in San Bruno.
Well, the operative thing about these documents is that they start at about the time of San Bruno. San Bruno took place September 9th, 2010. Same month, the NRC came out with its assessment of the shoreline fault and determined that the shoreline fault would produce ground motions, as would the Los Osos fault, as would the San Luis Bay fault, 70% greater than contemplated by the so-called double design earthquake, which is a key part of Diablo Canyon's license. 70%.
All right.
2 months later, actually I should say 4 months later, PG&E confirmed those numbers. This is in the wake of San Bruno, and I've got documents that show from that very day they started trying to figure out ways in which to evade the requirement that they evaluate this new information about the shoreline fault, the Los Osos fault, the San Luis Bay fault, when compared to the double design earthquake.
How many years have you dealt with PG&E, John?
First time was probably 1975, 1976.
So talk about your relationship with them over the last 30, 40 years. Have they been honest with you? Have they been upfront with you? Do they have credibility in your mind?
If you isolate particular individuals, the answer is yes. I have always enjoyed some very good relationships with PG&E at a variety of levels within the company.
Sure.
If you characterize it as an institution, I think that they have severe cultural problems inside the organization.
Elaborate, please.
It's a monopoly business, and monopoly businesses regulated by state government are really an arm of state government, and as a consequence, unaccountable to anybody. You add in the Diablo Canyon element, where they're really preempted from state regulation. Their primary regulator is the federal government, and that's even worse, if you can believe that.
Mm. But how much are we affected up here by what's happening down in San Onofre with the possible likelihood of that not going back online, Diablo Canyon is the only plant in operation on the entire West Coast.
Well, that's not true. It's the only nuclear
plant.
You've got a lot of gas-fired generation, and the California Independent System Operator has determined that whereas San Onofre is an important part of the Southern California grid, Diablo Canyon, not so much. It's just another power plant in terms of the opinion of the ISO.
Just another power plant.
And as a consequence, you can end up with the same services, the same value from a lot of the gas-fired generation and the renewable plants that are starting to come online. But most of our generation in California is gas.
Yeah, but wouldn't there be pressure to do something about Diablo Canyon if we don't have San Onofre?
You know, I'm not certain those two are interconnected. They probably are in the political world.
Yeah.
And I think as you see San Onofre slowly starting to sink into the sand, there's probably an increased political interest in, well, what's going on with Diablo Canyon?
Yeah. David, what do you think?
Well, I think another point that was just alluded to as well is it's one thing to look at what PG&E is doing. One accepts and expects corporations to act in their own best self-interest. But the unseen partner of this in the room today is the regulator. Where is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission on this issue? And are they doing an effective job? Or are they no better here today than the Mineral Management Agency was overseeing supposedly the Deepwater Horizon rig in the Gulf of Mexico?
Yeah. John, where is the NRC these days?
You know, the documents I have show that elements of the NRC collaborated with PG&E to help them figure out a way to evade this double design earthquake standard, and that is disgusting.
Give us the history of this, because this is very important.
Starts at about the time of San Bruno. They come up with information about the shoreline fault and these other two faults as well. The local NRC inspector, senior resident inspector was his title, says, you know, you guys have to apply the double design earthquake standard. You've got to apply the double design earthquake standard. I've got emails from PG&E saying, how do we get around this? We can't do this. We can't meet this standard. We can't comply with this standard. There's got to be some other way. This fellow keeps upping the pressure. PG&E has a variety of calls and meetings with other members of the NRC staff. They try to go around the guy. They try to go over the guy. Finally, in early 2012, PG&E gets what it wants. This inspector files the dissenting opinion, which is pretty rare at the NRC. And his boss writes up the assessment that Dr. Peck, that was his name, Dr. Michael Peck, has thoroughly researched these issues. The actual facts are not in dispute. While this concern has overtones of safety, the actual questions are procedural. Now, I'll tell you as a lawyer, Dave, you see those kinds of words, procedural, that's a red flag. He says the actual seismic current licensing basis did not provide a way to evaluate new information that becomes available.
Wow.
That's a crock.
Yeah.
That's a crock.
So how did PG&E get to him? You said they tried and tried and tried, and they finally got to him. How'd they get to him?
They have a desire to make all of their assessment something called probabilistic seismic evaluation. And what that means is doing Monte Carlo simulations to try to determine what's the likelihood any of this is going to happen.
Right.
And you can build, today especially, elaborate computer models that can calculate out to 10 digits, probably more, what are the odds of something happening. It's only as good as the data that goes into it, but nobody really focuses on the data that goes into it. The probabilistic estimates can make any earthquake risk go away. You said at the beginning of the show that you've highly confident that we were going to have an earthquake sometime.
I do believe that.
Well, I think most Californians do.
So I go back to my question. If I'm living south of Diablo Canyon, what is my risk, John? Am I in trouble?
Depends on what the size of the earthquake is and how much it shakes and how dilapidated the equipment is that's supposed to be designed to resist shaking.
So say we have a Fukushima-style earthquake.
That's very rare.
Yeah.
It's a little more common than they thought before Fukushima it would be, but the current projections now are for something substantially smaller than Fukushima here as a worst case.
However, you have to keep in mind that one of the contributing factors to this is that in the past they looked at the earthquake independently. Here's the Hasbre fault. Here's the shoreline fault.
Right.
The question that remains to be asked and answered is, the two seem to intersect. The work of the U.S. Geologic Survey shows by plotting microseismicity, smaller earthquakes underneath, they all seem to line up in a way that shows the two of them connect at some point. What the NRC does not seem interested in evaluating is the potential of the two of them connecting. They will look at one. It's the same way they approach many things. They'll look at another, and they work out okay. They don't like to look at the intersection of the two, and could that cause a greater magnitude than you would be expected?
All right, David Wiseman, John Giesman on this broadcast. I'm Dave Congleton. We're running way behind. We'll get caught up, and your phone call still to come. This is Talk 920 KVEC. Bottom of the hour, we'll have California headline news, and then we'll start welcoming your phone calls for John Giesman and David Wiseman. David, of course, is here with the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. John is also involved in that organization, but John is also here mainly in his capacity as a former member of the California Energy Commission. And we're talking about Diablo Canyon. We're talking about PG&E. We're talking about seismic testing. And really, the heart of it to me is the credibility and how much we can believe in PG&E. One thing I got to clarify, John, though, as we come back to you, what does the NRC gain from not providing oversight of PG&E from, in way you've been explaining in the first segment, from helping them, from supporting them? What do they get from it?
Well, I think the faction at the NRC that has been so helpful to them really wants to see this probabilistic analysis elevated in terms of the way in which risks are determined, particularly in the earthquake area. Yeah. They have a vested interest in that, an intellectual investment in it, and they've got a lot of fellow travelers at PG&E.
Well, so what happened to this guy Peck you were talking about during in the first segment?
Well, he doesn't work there anymore. Oh, he got transferred to Chattanooga, Tennessee. He's an instructor in Chattanooga now, I believe. A month before he filed his dissenting opinion, a phone call took place, and one of the documents I've gotten is a PG&E call report on a call with this branch manager that was the one that snuffed Peck in his dissenting opinion. The branch manager's name is Neil O'Keefe. The call report says, Neil then asked us if there's any technical reason for leaving the double design earthquake in the design basis. He stated that we had done a good job with the license amendment request of cleaning up the loose ends, but his advice is that we eliminate the double design earthquake as our safe shutdown earthquake for our licensing basis. His opinion is that by leaving it in, it appears as if we are covering something up. We need to be able to tell a simple story for people to be able to understand. And the simple story won't stand on its own if we leave the double design earthquake in. Neil's greatest concern and criticism of the POA is that we cannot provide a good argument for why the analysis using the double design earthquake can't be done. We don't make the argument for why it should be removed completely, but that's what we need to do in Neil's opinion. He made the comment that it is better to be legally clean than legally correct, but confusing. And added that both have to be technically correct.
Wow.
Now, that is, I think, fairly peculiar coaching to be coming from the NRC to a regulatee.
But now, translate for our listeners, please, John. What does this mean?
The double design earthquake has significantly more conservative assumptions about damping, that is, how buildings shake in an earthquake, and soil structure interaction. That means how much energy gets transferred from the rock beneath the plant to the plant than any of the other elements of the license. So that's what they wanted to evade.
Mm. Dave, what was your reaction when you heard all this?
Well, it's the type of thing that, again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, in a post-Fukushima environment where the lesson learned, at least in the report that was issued to the Japanese parliament, was that among the number one problems was the overly cozy relationship between the regulator and the regulatee, and that this closeness was what led to a complacency that allowed the situation to unfold in Fukushima the way that it did. And that we're seeing here clearly the NRC claims to be having lessons learned from Fukushima, but they're attempting to place all the lessons in a technical category. They'll tell you, well, they discovered, for example, that the backup generators shouldn't be at the same level as the water, so we move them up. They'll find other technical examples of things that they've learned, that there should be these redundant panels, that the hoses for the fire trucks need to be a certain way. But what they're failing to fix is the fundamental psychological problem that the regulator attempting to make these fixes is still very cozy with the regulatee who they should be supervising and overseeing. They're not willing to make that really big leap of the fundamental change that needs to be done.
But is this a common problem in the nuclear industry, John, elsewhere in the rest of the country?
By reputation, it is. I don't have any experience with elsewhere in the country.
No, but you must have heard stories.
Yeah, by reputation, this is an industry that is so cozy with its regulator, you can't really distinguish between regulator and regulatee.
I've never heard anything like this.
Well, let me sum it up for you. The bottom of this call record, if Peck is correct, we have to apply shoreline using the double design earthquake approach. That would almost certainly result in exceeding code allowable limits that would require us to get NRC approval to continue to operate both units. That's the bottom line. They can't meet the standard, so let's figure out a way to get around the standard.
And if we can't get around the standard, let's get around the people who are enforcing the standard.
That's right.
So what we learned from Fukushima, Dr. Peter Lamb, who was speaking on the Diablo Canyon Safety Commission today, spoke at the California Energy Commission the summer before last. And he, having been a career Nuclear Regulatory Commission staff person, administrative law judge, said, as relates to this probabilistic risk analysis that John mentioned, at Fukushima, he had four items: multiple diesel backup failures, flooding, loss of coolant in the spent fuel pools. He had them all listed on a PowerPoint. Each one of them, by probabilistic analysis, should have only happened at one in a million. One in a million. That's the likelihood. Yet, as he points out, on that very day, four of them happened within an hour of each other. And he did say that day he can no longer now completely believe the foolproof assumptions of probabilistic analysis. It's called the black swan, the rare thing to happen, the improbable event. And that should be the lesson that we have to, when we talk about building conservatism into the analysis of these things.
Right, but John, you've done all this research, you have all this information. What realistically can you do with it?
I think the key is getting the state of California, which is going through its own problems with the Bay Bridge and discovering that it may not be up to seismic snuff. I think the key is getting the state of California to step in and say, wait just a minute. You got to take your thumb off the scale. You got to apply the license standards that exist. You got to make certain this thing is going to be able to withstand every earthquake that we discover. And that hasn't happened yet, but that's our hope that it will.
All right, let us do this. Let's go to California Headline News and find out what's happening around the state. We'll check in with Joe for traffic and weather together. And then we'll welcome your phone calls for David Wiseman and John Giesman on Hometown Radio. Looking forward to that conversation. This is News Talk 920 KVEC, Hometown Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Dave Congleton. Good to be with you. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your Hometown Radio talk show. Gordon Mullen joins us during the 5 o'clock hour to talk about minimum wage. We're back with David Wiseman and John Giesman from the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, talking about Diablo Canyon and PG&E and seismic issues. Welcoming your phone calls, 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. Joe will give me the names of the callers so that we can start taking phone calls here. Thank you, sir. We go to Ken in Pismo on KVEC. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how you doing?
We're good, Ken. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to mention my opinion about nuclear power. You know, nothing's perfect, and nuclear power isn't none of the. There isn't any way to generate power that's perfect. Everything's got its flaws, but right. Nuclear power has no pollution. You know, it doesn't generate any greenhouse gases whatsoever, and that's a big deal these days. And foreign oil and, you know, carbon-based fuels to generate electricity is not the way to do it. That's worse than nuclear power. In my opinion, let's get off of foreign oil.
Right.
It's safely regulated, you know, and there's even a way to recycle the nuclear waste, which we will be doing someday. So I say, you know, there's worse things.
Let's hear what John has to say. The worst things, John.
Well, you know, my focus is not a generic thing on nuclear power, yes or no. It's a very plant-specific, is this plant fit to operate? So the call has a slightly different subject he wants to talk about. Waste is a problem. In California, we're not going to build any more nuclear plants unless the federal government can demonstrate a permanent waste disposal capability. That's the law. It's been upheld unanimously by the William Rehnquist Supreme Court in the early 80s. So we got a long way to go if we're going to base our carbon policies on nuclear power.
Ken, anything else you want to say?
No, I think I said it all.
I'm glad you called. Thank you. 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Blaine is in Avila on KVEC. Hi, Blaine.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
We're good, Blaine. Thanks for calling.
Good. Listen, and I appreciate you raising the topic on your show today. You know, I live in Avila. I just moved to the area and, you know, looked into the safety behind Diablo before I chose to move my family and my three children here. And I feel like, you know, some of the allegations your guest aired earlier are pretty serious. And, you know, from my standpoint, you know, listen, Diablo's gone to the NRC, and they've gotten the necessary permits. They've sought the approval. They're doing their evaluation as far as the seismic work's concerned. And I think that, you know, if your guests are serious about the allegations, they need to present it before a court and not just take it to the air, because what happens is they go and they say that Diablo's unsafe, and it scares a lot of people. And, you know, PG&E employs a lot of people in this area, and you know, do a lot of good things. So I think that if they're serious about it, they need to do more than to scare people. They actually need to take it to court.
Well, hang on, Blaine. Why not take it to court, John?
We're taking it to the Public Utilities Commission. That's the only way we were able to get these documents, and that's the first step. Hopefully.
But what you're alleging is criminal, is it not?
I'm not prepared to say criminal.
Okay.
But it's pretty damn serious. Yeah.
It's extraordinarily serious, yeah. But I'm not accusing anybody of a criminal violation yet.
Yeah, well, I just, you know, I think that you need to be careful and tread lightly as you go down this road. And listen, you know, I'm all about, you know, making sure that everybody's operating under the general, you know, rule of the law. But at the same time, you know, if you're going to shut down a plant, I want to make sure that, you know, that you actually are serious about it. I mean, yeah. let's just call a spade a spade. I mean, you guys don't like nuclear energy. Yeah. And it's pretty clear that you're coming at it from that angle, so it just it makes me a little suspicious.
You have an agenda here, John?
It's more than the general application of the law. It's the specific terms of the license. And, yeah, I do have an agenda. It's close the plant.
Okay. Blaine, thank you. We've got Deborah in Templeton on KVC. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, this is Deborah in Templeton.
Hi, Deborah.
And I just want to make a comment. I teach in Templeton, and I was lucky enough to be at a teacher's thing in Cal Poly with Dr. Albert Giorca, who is the man who is in the World Book of Records for having created the most synthetically made element on the periodic table. And he was asked at our event what he thinks about nuclear fuel and the future of it. And he said, we don't have a way to deal with the waste, we shouldn't do it. And I really trust that man. Thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, Deborah, thank you. Somebody's got a comment.
Dave, don't
she called
any,
in.
Don't you have any PG&E listeners? I mean, I'm expecting to hear somebody from PG&E.
Well, I would have to say the answer to the waste is, and something people can get involved in too, they may not be familiar with, is that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is now considering what they call the waste confidence policy. And because there's been no permanent solution, the draft report on the table now says they are prepared to leave the waste on site where it sits for up to 250 to 300 years beyond when the plant stops operating.
PG&E employees aren't allowed to listen to my show.
Oh.
Yeah. Jeff is in Los Osos on KVEC. Hi, Jeff.
Well, hi, Dave.
Hi, Jeff.
This is a retired PG&E employee. I've always listened to your program.
It was a joke, Jeff.
Okay.
What's your point?
My point is that, you know, having worked out there for many years and having, you know, a knowledge about a lot of the projects and so forth and with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, it just, you know, it's kind of astounding because the allegations here, because to me it means that a whole lot of people in the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and in PG&E are willing to say that white is black. You know, they're willing to lie, to turn and, you know, look the other way and do that. And I, you know, that's just not my experience with the people, one, that work with the NRC, and two, that work at the plant.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they live here. Hey, everybody wants to have a job, but you got to be alive first. And, you know, there would just be too much collusion required to try to, you know, come up with some of these things. One of the things, if I can go back to...
Well, hang on, Jeff, hang on just a second. I promise I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
You want to comment, John, on anything he said so far?
You know, I think what his point is pretty plausible. My question is, then why not apply the double design earthquake standard from the license? Why all of this rigmarole about trying to evade that requirement?
Yeah, and I don't know, and you used the word evade, and I don't know that PG&E would. I don't know the correct answer to that. I just know that, you know, all of the facts are available. The NRC has them. They're being looked at them. The company is and has done endless studies, and I know they're continuing. But if I can make one final point, which
sure.
was that I know, Dave, you mentioned concern about, you know, after the San Bruno incident about, you know, credibility for the company. Well, you know, in fact, after that incident, the company came to Diablo Canyon, and because of its very rigorous safety program, they looked to Diablo Canyon and their practices to help the rest of, you know, bring the company up to those kind of standards. So it's always been held to a much higher standard through the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and now the company's getting, you know, some of the benefit of that brought to a wider stage.
All right, Jeff, thanks for the call. John?
You know, I think he's right that nuclear regulation is more stringent than the regulation that they had in the gas pipeline system. But the problem that I'm pointing to is the same type of problem and the same philosophy that led the company for years to say, this pipe doesn't need to be inspected. We know better. We've done modeling. We've done probabilistic analysis. This pipe doesn't require inspection. It is the exact same mentality.
All right, Jeff, thanks for the call. We've got David in Shell Beach on KVEC. Hi, David.
Well, hi, Dave. Hi, John. Hi, David.
Hi.
I have a moral question that I would like to raise and see if there's anything wrong with my logic on this.
Okay.
Perhaps the worst of the waste that nuclear power plants produce is plutonium. I think it's one of the most toxic substances that has ever been found. And it has a half-life of 24,000 years, and I understand that you have to let it go through 10 half-lives before it stops being so deadly, and that's 240,000 years. And so my moral question is, what right do we have to produce this stuff that's going to be there for a quarter million years for all these future generations? If it gets in the water, if it gets in the environment, it's going to kill future generations. Isn't that just totally immoral?
David, thanks for the question. David, why don't you respond?
Well, I did not take a degree in theology or social psychology, and I'll tell you the truth. The Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility principally says that the moral arguments may be entirely valid, but when it comes to regulating and controlling nuclear power at the level where we have some say in the state, it's going to be economics. And I know that may almost sound like a heresy to say that, but you know, if while the moral – certainly, the moral argument is strong. The fact that this has turned out to be phenomenally expensive and not the most cost-effective way we can get our light bulbs to glow is our approach.
David, thank you. We move on to Carl in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
We're good, Carl. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. First, I'd like to say that I do appreciate over the years what David has done. I think having watchdogs are always a very valued asset to any type of operation, and I think he's done that. But I have, as he may or may not know, but I do disagree with him. I do believe that PG&E and Diablo Canyon in particular is an incredibly safe facility. And if you look over the years since it's gone into operation, you have people that are against nuclear power, that live in the fallout zone. You have people that are in the know, in the sense of engineers, that when they retire, they still live here. And so, to me, those are the canaries that's telling me that this plant is safe. It regulation, obviously, oversight. As time goes on, we learn more and ways to better handle it, even the spent fuel rods, you know, which was never designed to be stored at the plant. The federal government was supposed to have taken care of that.
Let me jump in, Carl. Hang on, Carl, just a minute. Let's get a response.
You know, I think he's right, and there are a lot of people that are convinced the plant is safe, and frankly, the license is designed to make the plant safe. That's my point. Apply the terms of the license. If you're trying to evade that, or if you're putting your thumb on the scale when you're measuring against the license, there's something wrong with that, and that undermines public confidence.
Yeah.
Well, it does, but the other side is I don't really buy into the conspiracy theory. The plant could not have operated as long as it had or has under that guise, a collusion. You've got NRC regulators that live within the fallout zone. They're not going to raise their families here.
But, Carl, what about the documents?
Kind of collusion,
Carl, what about the documents?
Been mandated.
Carl, what about the documents he's been reading from?
I can't say I've heard the whole show, David.
Okay.
But I would say that all the information can be gleaned one way or another.
Well, these documents
honestly,
are pretty specific.
I look at I've had probably a half a dozen tours over the years into the safety areas and restricted areas, and safety is first and foremost.
All right.
Because, quite honestly, PG&E as a whole can't afford to lose the Central Coast. Yeah. Liability-wise, it's too huge.
They're
not going to take those kind of risks. That's just business.
I appreciate the comment, Carl. David, you want to comment?
Actually, it's an interesting thing. Carl may be aware that the County of San Luis is actually asking very similar questions. You point out the jobs, the money for the schools. And an interesting fact is the people in San Onofre never worried about those things either until the plant stopped working. Had zero to do with safety, danger, or radiation. But now they've lost all that money, and the county is now going to look into what a post-Diablo future economically would mean to this county.
All right, Carl, thank you. We go to Mark in Morrow on KVEC. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
I was just wondering why Rancho Seco near Sacramento closed some years ago, if that has anything relative to do with what we're discussing now.
It had a shaky operating history, and eventually the voters put it on the ballot and said, close this thing. Let's find something else.
Mm. Okay. Thank you.
All right, Mark. Thank you. Let me get a quick comment from Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Dave. Hi to your guest. I think the analysis or the comparison somebody did earlier about how after San Bruno,
PG&E as a corporate entity started looking at the operation of Diablo as their shining role model. And I believe that everybody that works out at the plant would do anything and everything possible to make sure that plant operates as safely as it could. And if you turn them loose and don't put the budgetary constraints on them that a corporate model puts, they would do anything and everything they could to make that plant as safe as possible. The problem with PG&E is the corporate culture of profit above all else. That's where we have the problems, in them always trying to trim budgets, you know, trying to get their entities to get by with as little as possible.
All right, Bob, we're out of time. We're going to comment when we continue. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. Back with a final thought after these messages. All right, we are running way behind, and this topic has been too important just to cut my guests off. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to AP Radio News, find out what's happening around the world. We'll get the traffic update from Joe. And then I'm going to give David Weissman and John Giesman each a chance to wrap it up, and then we'll go on to Gordon Mullen and minimum wage. We're live, we're local, we're hometown radio. Stick around. 5:06 on the Central Coast. Thank you, Joe. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton, kicking off the 5 o'clock hour on this Wednesday, June 5th, 2013. Here's the rundown. In just a couple minutes, we're going to bring Gordon Mullen into the booth, and we're going to talk about minimum wage and the fact that the California State Assembly has passed a proposal to raise the minimum wage here in the state. With whatever time we have left over, we'll do last call with Dave and Joe. I wanted to give some extra few minutes here to John Giesman and David Weissman. I misjudged the clock during the last break, and they didn't get a chance to wrap things up as we've been talking about PG&E and Diablo Canyon and nuclear power and seismic testing and credibility. First, David, you wanted to share a news headline that just came in.
Well, it's just out of the San Francisco Chronicle right now in the San Bruno explosion case. We're in the penalty phase, where a decision will be made on how many billions of fine or penalty PG&E will be forced to pay. And it just turns out that there were assigned staff of lawyers at the Public Utilities Commission who had been working on this for 2 years, and they've all just been reassigned elsewhere in the PUC. And the head lawyer who did the reassigning of them used to be general counsel for Pacific Gas and Electric. So, you know, when anyone looks at the coziness of regulators and the revolving door, and again, that was exactly the problem they pointed out at Fukushima in Japan.
Well, this just kind of underscores everything John's been arguing the last hour. John, what's your reaction to that news item?
You know, the more things change, the more they get the same. When they discovered the Hosgri Fault, the Diablo Canyon was under construction. They had to stop and retrofit it with more safety equipment to protect it from this greater seismic hazard. It added $4.5 billion to the cost. Now, if they properly apply the double design earthquake standard, they may very well have similar retrofit requirements to bring the plant up to new modern safety standards. This doesn't have to be a radiation leakage meltdown scenario to close the plant. It could be just simply too much cost.
And if folks do want to catch up on these documents as we make our filings at the PUC, and it is available for us to publicly post these documents, and what we have will be put on our website, which is A4NR.org.
Repeat that.
www.A4NR.org.
All right. Thanks to David Weissman and John Giesman for coming by. David, final thoughts, sir.
We encourage people and the public to participate. When they hear the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is coming to town, come and ask questions if you have doubts. The seismic meetings will continue to be held. There was one in Oakland. Our attorney and our seismologist were asked to leave. Supposedly that was blamed on Southern California Edison. PG&E promises all upcoming meetings in San Luis will be open and transparent, so we look forward to seeing a concerned public there with us.
John Giesman, final thoughts, sir.
Dave, it's been a real pleasure to be here and to talk to your listeners.
Thank you, gentlemen.